They found David Leith, age 57, dead in his bed. He had a black hole in his forehead over his left eye, surrounded by copious gunpowder stippling, consistent with a shot fired from close range. He lay on his right side, with his right arm extended straight out, and his left arm bent at the elbow, with his wrist turned under and resting on the mattress. Beside that hand was an old blue steel Colt 38 double-action revolver with a black grip. Investigator Perry Moyers arrived at the solid brick house at 11:51. Rainella was on the front porch now with a rag in her hand. At 5 feet 8 inches, weighing 170 pounds, with stark blue eyes and steel-colored hair, Rainella cut an imposing figure. She was wearing blue jeans, white Skechers tennis shoes, a gray and white long-sleeved shirt layered with a gray sleeveless shirt. He looked her over but saw no signs of any blood transfer stains. He thought that was odd. Rainella was a nurse. Surely she attempted CPR on her husband. Moyers went inside where Sergeant Robert Lee directed him to the left and down the hallway to the bedroom. He heard the sound of a clothes dryer running and made a mental note to follow up on that observation. The deceased David Leith appeared to Moyers' trained eye as if he'd been tucked into bed for comfort. A pillow in a green pillowcase was in between his head and shoulder, another between his legs. He lay on a blue sheet, and a white quilt with pink and green accents neatly covered the lower half of his body. His position simply did not look right. Moyers thought it seemed unlikely for someone who had committed suicide. He wondered if the scene was staged. A plate of food, oatmeal, toast, and jelly, sat on a table beside the bed. It had not been touched. It bore no blood evidence on its surface. There were neither lip marks on the drinking glass standing beside the plate, nor any other indication that anyone had drunk a drop of the milk inside it. Moyers saw early signs of lividity discoloring David's skin. That, in all probability, meant his death could not have occurred in the last half hour. He pressed a finger down on the skin's surface. Where he applied pressure, he observed blanching, suggesting that death could not have occurred much more than 5 hours earlier. The exposed parts of his body were cool to the touch, but under the covers the toes were still warm. Moyers estimated the time of death is between 6 and 9 that morning. 3 probationary officers were on the scene, learning from their more experienced colleagues. Before lifting the weapon from the bed to demonstrate the proper handling of a gun at a death scene, Moyers noted that the holes in the blue bedsheet indicated there had been a fold in the fabric when the gun was discharged. "When you rotate the cylinder out, you need to be careful not to turn it," he said, holding the revolver up so that all the new officers could see. "Then you need to draw the cylinder as you see it on a piece of paper." Moyers made his drawing, but at the time, he did not notice the most significant piece of evidence the gun contained. Rainella came into the house with her married daughter, Maggie Dossett Conister, and asked, "What's going on here, boys? What's going on?" Moyers talked with Maggie while Detective Steve Webb spoke to Rainella. She informed Webb that it had been a typical morning. Katie was running a little late, but she left home for school at 8:15. Rainella said she prepared and served her husband breakfast in bed. "He always tells me I bring it too hot to melt the butter." The detective thought that was an odd statement, but didn't question her about it. Before leaving the house, she tuned the television to the Joyce Meyer Show, a religious and inspirational program that aired at 8:30. She also told him that the house was locked when she returned home. When Webb asked her why her husband would commit suicide, Rainella said, "He just found out yesterday that his mother has cancer." After a moment of silence, she added, "Well, he's finally at rest. He can finally rest." She volunteered her journal, handing it to the investigator, saying that it chronicled their family life and contained documentation of Dave's health and state of mind. In response to the detective's question, she said that she started the washer and the dryer just before leaving home at 9 that morning. Lead investigator Moyers silently wondered why the dryer was still running 3 hours later. Moyers looked for signs of the grief and sorrow noted in Rainella by the first responder, but saw none. Instead, he observed a woman in control, taking charge of the situation. That made him very uncomfortable.